Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when this thought hits you. Okay, I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, the whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Canva is awesome for so many reasons, for your social media, but for work. If you're looking for ways to impact at work, Canva can help your points get across. All right, Mike, what do we use it for? Like one sheets, if we're doing like a presentation, graphics?
Oh, it's awesome for graphics. Super easy to use.
And that's the thing too, especially with some of these apps, you think, well, there's no way I'll be able to use it. Well, me, because I'm a dummy. But even I can use Canva to make things look cool, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't have to insult me and say yeah so quickly.
Yeah, you can do it.
Yes.
It's awesome.
So it's easy design, impactful Canva presentations, docs, whiteboards, videos. Start with a designer-made template, which makes it so easy, especially for me. Customize with your content. You can add images and graphics and charts. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations, like the ones that you get, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only six numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these six numbers, 785-833.
The single most unifying position held by Americans is appreciation for those who protect our freedom and our families. You can help honor fallen or disabled U.S. service members and first responders by donating to Folds of Honor. They award scholarships to make sure the educational dreams of their sons and daughters and spouses live on. They have a 4 out of 4-star ranking on Charity Navigator, so you can give with confidence at foldsofhonor.org.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
In case this is your first time hanging out with me, what I do is take the best 7 segments from the show each week and I count them down. Basically, whatever y'all engage with the most online and phone calls and texts, emails, you name it, that's what I'm talking about. And so we had a lot going on this week. I mean, like a lot. There was somebody announced baby news. Somebody's going on a walk. Like across America, kind of. And then there's a lot. And we had guests. So, you know, let's get started. But my favorite part of this every weekend is I bring on a show member and they help me count it down and we kind of go off the rails on conversations about everything. This weekend, I'm bringing on Eddie. What up, Eddie?
What up? And I love that you're bringing me on, but I was a little nervous because, like, my voice, the allergies started real bad, like, earlier in the week. And then it just progressively got worse. And I feel like I sound okay, but to me, I'm so self-conscious about it. Like, I feel like I sound like a different person.
No, you do sound okay, but I do understand, too, when your throat's hurting and you're like, ugh.
It's like something right above my chest. I'm like, whatever that is, I just need out of there because it makes me, like, I could do Johnny Cash real good right now.
Okay, we're doing impressions. We're really going to shoot your voice out. You're going to be done by, like, one of these.
Yeah, but my normal voice, I just can't get it.
Okay, well, if Eddie has a weird voice, don't make fun of him.
Yeah, thank you.
Because we're going to talk about some fun things, so just focus on that. Let's get started. This week on the show, Amy talked about a super uncomfortable position that she's been put in with her family. Her dad recently passed away and she has his ashes, but her family members are wanting to do some stuff and she's just not really sure about all of it. So she broke it down with us and shared in case anybody else might be going through something similar. This is a really good one to listen to, so we're going to get it going.
Number 7.
Well, this is a weird situation. First of all, it's sad because your dad passed away.
Yeah.
And you left the show for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
We hated that for you. I knew your dad. So I want everyone to know that it is sad.
But this is a real conversation.
But this is an awkward thing that Amy was mentioning to me. And I was like, don't talk about it anymore. Bring it on the air. So explain to the group here what has happened.
Well, so my dad wanted to be cremated, which he was. And he was cremated here in Nashville. But he's from Texas. And we'll be traveling to Dilly, Texas for the funeral, actually, this weekend. And so there's a lot of conversation surrounding the ashes and what we do. And some family members wanted, like, to spread him in their own place or have a piece of him because you can, like, make jewelry or do different things. And so I have him in this beautiful box. It's an urn, but it looks like a box. I don't know yet. Of course, I'm the one in charge of traveling with the ashes to Texas, so let's just hope they make it there. But my family was talking about divvying him up. And I just immediately said, no, no, no. And then after I sat with it for a little bit, I thought, well, I know my initial reaction was like, that's weird. We can't do that. But it must be a thing and people must do it. And some people may want a piece of dad to go sprinkle somewhere else. And I guess if you spread ashes, it's divvying him up.
Why can't you divvy ashes too?
Right. But so then I'm like, well, what do? Pack my dad in the box and get a tablespoon and some Ziploc bags. And I feel I'm in charge of them. I picked them up. That was hard to do, by the way. Never done anything like that before. So I feel protective of my dad in a box.
I would say don't look at it as if it is your dad, but memories of your dad that can be shared there. Same situation with my mom.
But did you divvy her up?
Yep.
You did?
What, to spread her out.
Oh. Wow.
Same thing.
Okay.
Yeah, you spreaded her,
yeah,
though?
In different places. Yes.
Okay.
So, but we had to divvy it. So it's not, but it's, again, this, I know this is a weird situation.
It's weird, but it's not
like you're putting an arm somewhere.
This is honestly something others may have gone through or they will go through. And I think it's okay to talk about because it's real.
My suggestion is look at it as if you're just putting parts of his memory in different places or with different people.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I had to look at it. It is weird to go, okay, well, you get some, you know, we can measure it like they do drugs on TV.
Kilos.
Yeah, whatever. But it really is not a big deal. And I would like for you to be open about the fact that you're not dividing his body. You're dividing some substance of his memory.
All right. I'm not there yet, but I will take in what you're saying.
He doesn't all have to stay together. Because he wouldn't, if he wanted to be put in three different places, he wouldn't stay together.
He's right. Ashes. He's not even together anymore. Yeah. He's ashes.
He's not together already. Yeah.
That is a different way of saying it, which can help me process it. But I'll think this through and I'm in charge of the box. I told my other siblings, okay, I'll tell them. Y'all didn't have to come here and pick them up. I'm taking them. I'm traveling them. I feel like I'm the gatekeeper. Mm-hmm. So I'll figure it out. But I think, yes. Okay.
As someone who has been through this, I would empower you to go, I'm not dividing up his body parts.
Right.
I'm dividing up some substance of his memory.
Okay.
That's all.
That helps. Thank you.
Do what you feel, but still, I would say open your mind a little.
Okay.
You feel the same way?
I'm with you.
Okay.
No, I'm with you.
All right. Mike, do you feel the same way?
I do feel
Lunchbox
the same way.
Lunchbox feel the same way?
Yeah, I think it's all right. Let them go. They're already ashes.
It's
not a big deal.
It stinks. It's bad, but you got this.
Okay, I got all of y'all saying that, so. I'll go with that.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Coming in hot, we had a lot of awesome artists on the show this week. One of them was Dylan Scott. It was his first time on the show. He performed some of his big hits, you know, like My Girl and Hooked, which are earworms. They are huge jams. He performed those. Plus, he also shared with us about his kids and if maybe they're musically inclined, if he's going to push them to be artists, which I'll give you a hint, probably not, but one of them is very talented already. So listen to this interview and his performance. You will love it. After you're done with that, watch it. BobbyBones.com. The performance is up there, and I promise you want to see him. He's very muscular. He's a great-looking man.
Number 6, the Friday Morning Conversation with Dylan Scott.
Dylan, how are you, bud?
I'm good. How are you?
I mean, he's got a deep voice. He's jacked.
Hey, it's allergy season.
Oh, I don't know. It's like, is this his morning voice, or is he always this deep?
But no, his songs are deep, too.
I know.
I mean, you are testosterone filled, huh?
I don't know, man. I mean, it's just part of it. Part of it.
Jeez. Back in the day, because a lot of folks have jobs as they're trying to make it in country music. And I'm sure you did too, right? You moved to town, had jobs.
Yeah. Not actually in town, no. I had jobs before I moved to town. When I moved to town, I looked up and I had a record deal before I moved to town.
How did you manage that?
My dad, dude. My dad was in the business back in the day. He lived here, wanted to be an artist, ended up playing with guys like Freddie Fender on the road. And they're like, wasted days and wasted nights.
Yeah, we know Freddie Fender.
Yeah. So he did all that. So my dad growing up, he would bring me back and forth to Nashville and I met certain people. And honestly, dude, I lucked up. I met the right people. And, signed with Curb.
What were you doing before you got it? And my point was, I mean, you had to be doing something like
teaching people how to do push-ups or like something, because you're just a monster.
No, I'm not a monster, man. I'm only like 5'10". But no, I mean, I worked little odds and ends jobs, summer jobs. I've done construction. I did work at a gym.
You did?
I was not a personal trainer, but I worked at the gym. But when I moved to town, I was just writing music and luckily had a pub deal that helped me pay my bills.
Amy used to work at a gym.
I did. I worked the front desk at Gold's.
That's what I did, the front desk.
Really? Yeah. Welcome
Made
to Gold's.
Smoothies and stuff.
Don't forget to do your thing. Yeah.
Where'd you grow up?
Bastrop, Louisiana. Probably never heard of it.
What's it near?
Monroe.
Okay, then I know where it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, being from Arkansas, we'd go all up and down Louisiana playing baseball mostly.
That's right.
Were you a sports guy? Did you play sports at all?
I played basketball till my junior year of high school till I realized I was not going to get any taller. So I thought I better just hang it up and stick to music. So
His name's Dylan Scott. I'm for sure you've heard his massive songs on the radio. I feel like now is the time where people are going to start recognizing who you are, like by seeing you, right? That's a hard thing as a dude in country music, because there are a lot of folks out there putting out music.
Yeah.
And so you have to have kind of two or three big songs for people to go, oh, that's that guy. Otherwise, you're like, all right, I know that song from somewhere, but I think this new song you have, I think this is the one for you.
Man, I hope so. You know, this is it's everybody's dream that moves to town, right? To play music, but I've been blessed the past few years to have a couple of hits at the radio, you know, and so I'm on my third hit right now, which means a lot. So, you know, whether they recognize me or not, that's not really what
it's about.
No,
it's happening, though.
You know?
What it's about.
I just want a long career of just, like, playing music, you know, not having to go back to the front.
Nobody. That's the best song. I mean, that is your best song.
I appreciate it.
How'd you pick that one?
So, a lot of my writing, when I write a song, I'm not like, oh, this is a great song. Like, I'm pretty hard on my writing. And so I have to live with something 2 or 3 weeks and go, you know what? I can hear it. But with Nobody, it was not like that. We wrote on the back of the bus in New York State. I knew from the moment we wrote it, it was going to be possibly one of my biggest songs, just because I wanted to write a simple love song. I mean, how simple does it get for nobody, 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 right? But the melody was so infectious, I knew, like, man, surely this is it, right?
It is it, because mostly I hear songs, and I'm like, all right, whatever, another one. Just end so I can start talking on the radio. Yeah. But this, I was telling them on the show, I was like, man, when I hear that one, nobody, nobody, nobody. That's a good one, man.
Yeah. It doesn't help. It's like, you know, 2 minutes and 30 seconds either.
It does help. Because I try to hear a 4-minute song. Give me 2.5 minutes and let's go. I was watching your Instagram story. If I remember correctly, your kids were in the car and you were listening to the radio and nobody was on. You guys were all singing it. Yeah. What do your kids think about you being, you know, a guy they can hear on the radio?
My daughter, she's a year and a half. She doesn't quite understand it yet, but my son, he's so musically inclined. He loves it. He thinks it's the coolest thing when I come on the radio. I don't think he understands yet, like, oh, it's the radio and dad's coming on, but he belts it out, man. I mean, he's a little musician in the making.
Do you want him? Because your dad was a musician.
Right.
Would you like him to pursue music if he wanted to?
My parents never pushed me to do music. Obviously, my parents, they were like, hey, you do what you want to do. And since I want to do music, they backed me 100%. That's kind of the way I am, you know. If Beckett, that's my son's name, if he wants to do music, I'm behind him 100%. But it's really anything he wants to do, I'm behind him 100%.
I want you to play a little bit for us. You got your guitar. Yeah. What if he brought his guitar and I didn't make him play? He just sat there with it for 2 segments. Let's do a little bit of My Girl.
A little bit of My Girl?
Yeah, was this your first number one?
My Girl, yes, it was my first number one. Kind of got everything rolling for us.
Here is Dylan Scott, and this is a little verse and chorus of My Girl.
She looks so pretty with her makeup on. You should hear talking to her mama on the phone. I love it when she raps to an Eminem song. That's my girl. Man, her eyes really drive me crazy. Used to see a smile when she holds a baby. Well, I can honestly say that she saved me, my girl. Yeah,
that's my girl in the passenger seat. Windows down, dancing around, causing a scene. That's my girl sipping Crown and Sprite. And a ball cap turned back. Ooh, she got me like, yeah, baby girl, you're gonna turn it again. Making all the guys wishing you were with them. But I bet they don't see what I see when I see my girl.
Come on, Dylan Scott.
Yeah.
Hey, that's great, man. I bet it's cool, too, when you're playing live shows and you finally get a hit and you can play something that people can sing back to that's not a cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody asked me the other day, like, what's it feel like to be on stage, somebody hearing your song? Like, man, I've never done drugs and I don't drink a lot. So, I mean, I would imagine it's something along the lines of doing that. But it's a great feeling, dude.
So that went number one. And then you put out Hooked. And that song has massive success, too. That's number one, right?
It went to number two.
Boo!
I'm going to make this joke right now. My manager's in the other room. Give me the finger. So not the finger.
She's
this
pointing
finger.
At you.
Give
yeah.
me this finger. So can I say this? Can I say it, Kerry? I'm going to say it. It went to number two. I got beat out by Luke Bryan on a two-week number one, who Kerry also manages. So
never heard of him. His career's never going to go.
By the way, right now, we're pushing for another number one with Nobody. And I have another Luke I have to get around, which is Luke's Cole. So I'm getting Luked right now, man.
It only went to number two. I thought it was a number one. It felt like a number one.
And that's what matters right there. I tell everybody it's number one.
You could have lied to me and I've been like, yep, told you guys.
Yeah.
All right, play us a little bit of Hooked.
Yeah, sure.
Here's Dylan Scott live in studio.
It was a Friday night. No cover, but the cover band was sounding right. And there you were, just flirty, dancing by the neon sign. To fishing in the dark, you were reeling in my heart. Now look at where we are. I'm hooked on kissing you, getting you turned on. Buzzing and loving on you all night long. Like a hit song on the radio, you already know the way it goes. All it took with a look and I was hooked on. The way that you're taking my shirt off and running my fingers through your long blonde hair falling in your eyes like the first time they called mine. All it took was a look and I was hooked.
Nice job. Wow, look at you. You know, I was talking to Amy and I was like, Dylan Scott's never been on the show before.
Yeah.
And she was like, no, I think he's been in because we played him a lot. And I was like, I don't think he has. You're the final judge here. Have you been on the show?
I've never been here.
I told you.
And I've been waiting 3 years.
Scuba Steve just sent me a text because I was perplexed by it. And he said, hey, you probably see him every day driving to work because there's a banner on Music Row with his face on
it. That's right, your face.
My big old mug.
Yeah,
on Music Row,
and so maybe that's what it is. I'm like, no, he's been in. But maybe it's because I drive by you every day. Yeah.
You're going out with Luke on tour?
We're going with Luke Bryan on tour. Yeah, proud to be right here, tour. It's going to be. After the past year, all of us artists have had, but just, you know, us in general, of no touring, coming back to the biggest tour of my life, it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. He's a fair, watch out. He sometimes gets a little handsy, if you know what I'm saying. Watch out for that guy. Dylan Scott, you guys can follow him on Instagram, Dylan Scott Country. I'll say it again, your new song, Nobody, Nobody, Nobody. That's it, man.
Appreciate it.
If that's not number one, I quit. Yeah, that's right.
No, don't say
I'm
that.
I'm saying it right now. I quit this job.
Whew, it's going to be a tough week.
Dylan, congratulations.
Thank you.
There he is, Dylan Scott. First time ever on the show, and he nailed it.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Coming in at number five, Mike D shared with us why he believes Bobby and Caitlin are made for each other. And, well, we have Eddie on, who is Bobby's best man. So what other person should we be asking this question is Eddie. You are the best man at the wedding.
Yeah.
Why do you think Bobby and Caitlin are so good for each other?
I honestly think like the timing in Bobby's life is like key. Like I think he is just a point in his life where he is ready to accept love and he's ready to like feel in love and all that. And Caitlin is the perfect person for that because she has tremendous faith. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know this about her, but she has tremendous faith. She is level-headed, and she can deal with... Because Bobby comes with a lot. Like, Bobby comes with a lot of emotional stuff, and, he argues a lot and Bobby's always got to be right about certain things. And she knows how to stand up to that and be like, you're not right here. And I'll tell you why you're not right. And I think like they're really, and that's kind of what Mike touches on a little bit. And I know he was being funny about how like they argue about, you know, a game or whatever.
Very competitive.
But
with
very
each
competitive,
other.
But it's more, I think more importantly, competitive about life things. Like, hey man, like you can't live your life this way. This is how you need to live your life. This is the healthier way of doing things. And emotionally, and I think that's why she's really, really good for him. And I think they're great for each other, like because of that. And it's kind of what Mike said, but I think that it's two is the time in Bobby's in this point of his life where he's like ready to be married to someone and spend the rest of his life with someone. He wouldn't have been, even if I feel like if they would have met 5 years ago, I don't think they would get married because
so
Bobby wasn't there.
Combination of maybe time in his life and the person he met at that right time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's all about timing, right?
It really is. It really is. And she came in at the right time and it's just, I'm so happy because he's definitely one of my best friends and I am just extremely happy for him that he got to find this in his life because it's important. You need that partner in your life. It's a tough, tough journey and marriage is extremely difficult. But when you find the person, the perfect person to do that alongside with, it's the world against you two and you guys can do it, you know, and that's, I think they're just great for each other.
Well, and I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but every time we brought her on and every time he talks about their interactions, I just feel like she's a really good challenger for him.
Mm-hmm.
She challenges him to be his best self.
Yeah.
And she's putting aside everything to be like, hey, I don't care what you're telling me. I'm pushing you because I believe this in you.
Yeah, and I think that goes along too with the radio stuff. I mean, he's done radio his whole life and he talks about this and how his whole life has been just a clear glass. Like, look at me. Look at everything I do. Here it is. I'm going to talk about it. I'm going to post about it and everything. And she comes in and says, hey, like, that's cool and all, but you can't do that. Like, you have to have a little bit of stuff for yourself because then you just become a servant to them, you know, or whatever that means. Like, you know, we say like feed the beast, you know, like, but really you need to have a little bit of self-privacy and value for what you do just for you and your family. Not for show or for everyone else. And I think that by her saying that is really cool and just kind of, I don't know if there's ever been anyone that's come in his life that has said that to him. Like, hey, you should probably save a little bit of that for yourself. And I think he's understanding it too. Because that's how I live my life. My family life is so private, you know?
And well, yeah. I mean, we don't even see pictures of your kids. I think there's a lot to your life that's really private, which gives you, it also gives you like a sanctuary at home.
Right.
When you do have even this minimal of a public life, right, with the show, you get to go home and it's a safe space and nobody knows it. And you're just sitting there and you're like, this is okay.
Yeah.
It feels very safe.
It really does. I mean, you got to have that. I mean, even just like when you work at a bank or you work wherever, you know, you got to go home and not talk about work. That's what it's like for us, you know, because we talk about our lives all day. But you also want to go home and have a little bit of realness behind like what you're doing at home. Like, all right. I don't want to talk about what I've talked about at work. I want to talk about what we're dealing with here at home. And so,
do you ever feel like when I talk to my friends or my family who are great supporters of me and they listen to the show and everything, but then they get really excited to talk to me about things and I'm like, guys, I can't, I cannot talk about this. I have spent a whole morning doing this. It's the last thing I want to talk about. I love you. At some point I will talk to you about it, but not right now.
It's so weird.
Do you ever like get that way?
Well, before I joined the radio show, I guess I've been on the show for about 8 years now. Like before I joined, I was such a social person, like and I still am. Like I love going.
Oh yeah. You're a huge people person.
I love it. But there are times in the weekends when my wife wants to invite people over or like go to someone's house and I'm just not down. Like, and I've never been like that my entire life. But since we talk so much all week to each other and tell stories and like, sometimes I just want to go through Saturday and Sunday and not say anything. And my wife's like, that's so weird. It's not you. But I mean, it just happens.
Yeah. I really feel like when I meet new people now, if somebody gets me to go out or do stuff, like I won't even tell them what I do because I don't want to talk about it. I'm like, I'll be like, yeah, I work in media. And I'm like, yeah, I just like blow it off. And that's all I do. And people will be like, okay, well, like, tell me about it. Because you're meeting new people, and they're like, well, tell me more about it. I'm like, I really don't want to.
I know.
Because then as soon as I do, it's like, oh, that's what you, and then there's so many questions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just don't have the capacity to do that anymore in social settings.
But how cool is it that we have a job
I know.
Where most people are like, what? I want to hear more about this. Like,
I know.
I think we take it for granted sometimes.
We do. But until you're in it and you have to do it every day, you're like, oh, man. Like, that's why, too, you know, people, Bobby will always say on air, he'll be like, I go home and I'm so quiet. It's really just like you spend your whole day talking and you're doing all of these things. So when you go home, you're like, the last thing I want to do is, one, keep talking. And two, talk about what I just did.
Right, right. Like, I go home and, like, Lunchbox yells all day, and I sit right next to him. And so then when my kids are yelling at home, I'm like, please stop. Like, I've already had Lunchbox yell in my ear all day. I don't need to hear more yelling. Please keep it down.
So are you saying there's no yelling at your house?
And yeah, right. You kidding me? Even last night, I'm like, oh, my gosh, please. I told my wife, like, please just tell them to just whisper, like, 5 minutes. Like, there's so much yelling at my house. Oh, I feel like with all the boys... And we're probably going off topic here, but with all the boys, like, I feel like they think there's so many of them that they need to be louder than everyone else just to be heard. So they all yell.
I feel like that's also just a consequence of having siblings. Yeah. You yell at each other to yell at each
other. Six people under the same house. Yeah.
Is it ever, do you feel like there's certain, like, the certain siblings always yelling at each other? Like, two of them are always going at it? Or is it always all of them?
And even now, the baby's starting to yell. He's not saying a lot of words.
I was going to say, is he even talking yet?
I mean, he definitely, in his mind, is talking.
Okay.
Like, he makes facial expressions like he's telling
he's
you.
He's trying.
Like, he looks at you like, why are you not understanding what I'm saying? I'm repeating myself over and over. I want toy that's up on the top of the shelf, and you're not moving. Like, he literally does that, but in words that aren't words. Like, no, 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 no. And he's pointing up the shelf like, no, no, no. And then holds his hands out, and it's like, I think he's saying something. He's like, of course I'm saying something.
Does it ever make you feel bad when you're like, buddy, I have no idea what you're trying to tell me?
Yeah, it's like that all the time. Like, oh my gosh, I don't know what you're saying. I love that you're trying, though.
The worst thing for me is ever making somebody, even if it's an adult or a child, whatever it is, and making them constantly repeat, I'm like, I still don't get it.
I know.
I still have no idea what you're telling me. And I'm trying really hard. I'm like really paying attention. I have no idea.
Well, my foster son, he's still kind of learning how to just kind of make sense of things. And he doesn't like to be wrong about things. So, like, if
that's a young age to not want to be wrong.
Well, he's six, and there are topics where, like, everyone knows. Like, everyone knows that, for example, a gasoline makes a car run,
okay.
Right?
Or the sky is blue.
Well, not that simple.
Okay, a little more.
More like it takes gasoline to make a car run. And everyone's like, duh. And he's like, of course I knew that. And he really had no clue. So he likes to, like, say things to make you believe, like, he knows what he's talking about.
Mm.
And literally, I'm like, I don't know what you're I don't know what you're saying. And he gets so frustrated with me. He's like, what I'm trying to say is, and then he's like, do you mean gasoline makes cars run? He's like, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, cars don't run on air is what I'm trying to say. Like, they run on gasoline. It's just so funny because, like, he really didn't know that, but he was slowly trying to let you know, like, yeah, come on, man, I'm smarter than that. And then it's like, you didn't know that, did you, buddy? He's like, no, I didn't. But I tried to act like I did.
I mean, but good for you for, like, trying to work through that, because it sounds like he's trying to work on his confidence.
He is.
And being a foster kid, that makes sense that he's had some insecurities with some things. So he's, like, working through that confidence to be like, I know this. I know it. But, like, do I know it?
Yeah. He doesn't want to be left out. He doesn't want to be the only one that didn't know that cars run on gasoline.
But that's a good thing about having the brothers in the family, because he learns all of this at home.
Right.
So then when he is in public settings or he's going to school or whatever, he knows it by the time he gets there. Like, the funniest thing is my sister will, like, post something and she'll always say she's my biggest critic, but she's also my biggest supporter. And that's so true, because she taught me so many things and she's always critiqued me. And I've always been like, why are you doing that to me? Like, it makes me so angry. But then, like, looking back, it always makes me so happy that she did that for me. It wasn't doing it to me.
Yeah.
She was doing it for me.
That's so cool. And you and your sister are 1 year apart?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
See, like, I have, my brother is 6 years and my sister is 8 years younger.
Oh,
so it's like we didn't have that relationship.
Well, and that's how my two older sisters are. I mean, they're 10, 12 years apart.
So that's there too, but different lessons. Sure. I feel like you learn different lessons the closer the age, or like the far. They have a lot of wisdom that they pass down to the two of us that now Taylor's trying to make sure I remember that I probably didn't remember as a baby.
Yeah.
So you will have that. I mean, you have these four kids that are so kind of different in age, two a little closer, two a little further apart. And I think you'll have that too, which is a really unique, but super, super like, gosh, I can't even find the word. Just, I wish people could have that experience.
Yeah.
Because it teaches you so much growing up.
Yeah.
Like it really does. It built so many different things in me that I would have never gotten anywhere else. So as much as like he may hate it right now, he will love it as he gets older.
That's cool.
You know?
Yeah. I didn't really think about that.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't even realize too that our families were similar in that manner either.
Yeah.
And like my two older sisters are my half sisters. So we are in a way like
that's crazy.
Family.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That's nuts.
Yeah, a little different.
Cool.
I mean, yours will be a different in another sense, but blended family nonetheless.
I love that.
So, oh man. Well, I forgot even what we were talking about.
We were talking about Bobby and Caitlin be perfect for each other.
Before we get into the segment, I do want to know, have you and your wife ever gone on like a double date with Bobby and Caitlin?
We went fishing together.
Okay.
On a fishing boat.
I remember that when y'all were like, it was hot out still last summer.
Yes. We went striper fishing.
Yes.
Last summer. And then we've gotten together one other time. We went to a birthday party together, but you know, it was kind of a party setting. It wasn't just a double date, but we've every single time we get together, we're like, we have to do this more often. Like it's fun because my wife and Caitlin get along so well. And of course me and Bobby get along so well. And that's rare.
Yeah.
It's rare to go on a double date and both parties like really enjoy each other's company.
Yes, it's normally like one party is like happy and then the other one's like, well, I'm here.
Yeah, I mean, for years, like, you know, it was strange because I would be worried like, ooh, is my wife gonna like Bobby's girlfriend, you know, or whatever, we're gonna go whoever he's going on a date with. And
well,
like,
I also do feel like your wife would get along with anyone.
Yes she can, but there's still stress like, oh yeah. Are they gonna have fun or are they like being forced to be here kind of thing. And that's not the case. So, I mean, I've told Bobby and Caitlin, and they've been busy or whatever, but there's so many things. Like, Caitlin really likes this restaurant. She's like, we got to go on a double date. But it's hard to find babysitters. Like, I have four kids. And so
it has to be hard for you guys to even go on a date by yourselves, let alone a double date.
Yes. So usually when we do go on a date, not double dates, but just us two, it's someone saying, hey, I'll watch the kids. Like, how about this weekend? And then you're like, and then we say that would be wonderful. Like, thank you. And then we go on a date, but to plan it, it's so hard for us. And then with Bobby's schedule, like, so no, we haven't done it a lot, but I want to do more of it.
Well, I have a feeling it will happen more in the future. For sure. I mean, she's around for forever.
Yeah.
So this is
going
to happen as much as y'all wanted to or could. And I feel like too, you could have like dinners at your place. That could be like a double date feature. The kids have to like go sit in a movie theater backyard situation.
Well, that's funny too, because like Bobby's like, man, Eddie never invites me to the house or whatever, and I'm like, I don't want to put you through that, you know. And then this was before Caitlin. Like, now that you have Caitlin, come over, you two can come, the kids can yell. But single Bobby, like, come to my house where there's four screaming kids and like my wife, like, you know, trying to get dinner ready and everything. I'm like, that's just doesn't sound fun. So now that he has a fiance and like a future wife, I'm like, now we're going to make it happen.
So the friendship has even evolved the engaged Bobby you have
think
now.
About our lives. They were so different, you know, like just forever.
Well, yeah. I mean, him and I would go party on Broadway sometimes.
Right.
And so, shifted dramatically. But I think that naturally happens when you get, one, into a relationship, but two, when you get engaged. This is a different ballgame.
Correct.
So
I'm looking forward to that.
Okay. Well, we will, whenever you guys go on another double date, we'll bring you back on so you can dish on how the double date went. Here's Mike D explaining why he believes Bobby and Caitlin are made for each other.
Number 5.
So we spent the last week in an Airbnb in California as we were shooting the end of American Idol, back in Nashville now, which, thank God. But we all cram into a house. It's Caitlin and myself and Mike D, who is the road producer for me, but also is the head writer on this show, another guy that we work with. And listeners are like, why are you guys getting an Airbnb and not hotels? Well, because I only want to pay one check. I don't want to pay for hotels for everybody. So we get a house and we save money and we all stay in an Airbnb. And so, but it's the first time, Mike, I guess, that we've all, one of the first times that we've all stayed together.
In that much amount of time, yeah.
Yeah. And you say now that you see why Caitlin and I are perfect for each other.
I get it now.
Because
you two are the most competitive people I've ever met in my life.
With each other?
With each other. Like, you guys play a game and you each want to win so badly. It gets so competitive.
We were playing this game called 20 Questions, where you think of a celebrity and you get 20 yes or no questions. And then you, by the 20th question, you have to figure out who it is. And so the answer was Pat Sajak. And how do you fight over Pat Sajak, right?
Well, I don't know how.
Well, no, I'm just saying it, there shouldn't be an argument about it. But the game ended. Nobody got it. I picked Pat Sajak as my guy. Nobody got it.
20 questions later, nobody got it.
And I was pretty pumped about it. And Caitlin started saying I was cheating because she goes, Pat Sajak had his own talk show. He had his own show. And that was one of the questions. And I was like, he had his own show for like 1 year in 1989. Not now. He doesn't have. He had. And so then we started arguing have versus had. And the argument lasted for like 3 days.
3 days?
For like 3 days.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then we played another one where another guy picked Mary-Kate Olsen. We were arguing about hair color. It just turned into a... We are both very competitive. The last time we competed was out on the basketball court. We played horse, and the loser had to make breakfast for the other person for 5 days in a row. And we played best 2 out of 3, and I won the first one. And then she dominated me the second two. And then she started feeling bad. She was like, you can just make me cereal.
Nothing complicated.
She was like, you can just make me a bagel. And so, but yes, we are very competitive. But that's good for most of the time, right?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I tell you, when we did Bear Grylls together, we weren't competitive with each other.
No, no. You were on each other's
But I guess we weren't playing side. For points.
Yeah.
If we were playing for
that's
points,
the difference.
That would have been trouble.
Like yeah, if yeah. she was scaling down that cliff or something and you were like, I'm coming in hot, and you're going to like
oh, yeah.
beat her down first, then that would be bad.
If there had been a competition, well, one of us would have died.
Yes.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Another really fun interview and performance on the show this week, Ben Rector. He has never been on the show before, but he's really tied into the country music scene. So we heard about the wedding he performed at. That's a country artist. The song he wrote with another country artist. I mean, I'm telling you, he's so good on his own, but he's also really tied into the country music industry. So here's the interview with Ben Rector and his performance.
Number four. Go. On the Bobby Bones Show now.
Ben Rector.
Ben, how are you?
I'm doing good.
Yeah, good to see
you. You as well.
For you, you just drove up and played here. You made the comment, wow, it's weird to just be home and then be in a radio. Because mostly you're traveling. Are you traveling all the time?
Yes. I mean, in a previous pre-pandemic life, I was traveling all the time. And now I feel like it's just starting again. But yes, usually in life, I'm traveling a lot.
I think we met on an airplane, like a Southwest flight to California in line for the bathroom.
Yes. And you were so kind. And man, I was in a bit of a spot. I was in between that day. I was flying kind of all over and I think I was doing a radio thing and I felt bad. I was like, oh, I hope I was nice to you because you are awesome. And you were like, hey man, I'm Bobby. It's so good to meet you. And I was like, what's up, man? But in hindsight, I was like a shell of a person.
I think I just had to pee real bad and I tried to be nice to jump the line. I was like, hey man, can you? No, it was awesome. It was awesome. We have a bunch of friends too that are, that are similar. Steve Moakler is a friend of ours.
Totally.
He actually danced to your song at his wedding. Is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he did. I was in the wedding, and then he asked me to play a song at the wedding. And I was like, I'd love to. I'd be honored.
See, now here, this is what's happened with me is I'm getting married later this summer, and I have friends that play music, but I'm so close to them that I don't want to ask them to play, but if they don't play, I'm going to be mad. So it's this weird place.
I feel like you, a real friend, you could totally ask him. Like, I haven't played at weddings, you know, for a long time, but if there's someone who I'm really close to, there's a girl who helps watch our daughter and she was like, hey, like, could you play my wedding? I'm like, absolutely.
And it wasn't a big deal?
That. No. Dude, I mean, real friends, that's like, it's like an honor to get to do that. You know what I mean? I think. I hope. I'm not speaking for all of your friends.
No, you said it, so I'm going to say. Ben Rector said that you will play, and if you don't, you're not a real friend.
Yep.
Because even some of my dear friends, I don't even like to bring on the show because what we have outside of this isn't this. Ronnie Dunn is going to sing a song from Brooks and Dunn. He's going to do Neon Moon, which is cool, right?
Yes,
this is
incredible.
Reception only, not at the ceremony. Gary LaVox from Rascal Flatts is going to sing a song.
You're kind of like, these are the best singers that there are, pretty much.
Yeah, I agree. and I'm still working on a couple. Like, if I go to Jake Owen and I'm like, hey, dude.
100%
Of course, but
it's
just you hate to... I would want him to offer him go like, hey, what do you want me to sing? You have a band, I'll sing. So I'm just waiting for that to happen.
That's exactly what he would say. He'd be like, yeah, man.
Yeah, dude, what do you want me to say? I'll do 7 songs, dude.
100%.
You know, we played a lot of, when you did the Shania cover of Still the One.
Yeah.
We played it on our countdown on our show, yes, a lot. Why would you cover that song at a show? What about that?
So I grew up in Oklahoma, and so I feel like that era of country music was just, I don't know, like I grew up listening to it. And then it's funny because I feel like there's some songs that you know, and then you go back to and you're like, oh, that wasn't as good as I thought it was. That's one that I went back to that I was just like, this is one of the best songs ever. And I like, if I do a cover song at a show, which I don't do a ton, I like to try to pick something that's like a little bit fun and kitschy where it's like, I wouldn't expect you to sing that. Like, and it was funny too. I didn't know how people would respond because like some of the audience is younger than I am. And I was like, are people going to know this song? We kicked into it every night. It was just like hands in the air. It was so awesome. And in random places too, where, you know, we'd get to like the Northeast and I was like, are people going to know, like, I don't know if that's early 2000s or 90s country song. And everyone was just like, not actual lighters, but like figuratively just like, yeah. So it was awesome.
I would like to hear a little bit of Range Rover. The song just came out.
Yes.
Was listening to it this morning, driving in a little bit. I'm a fan. Yeah. And so, I don't think I've ever seen you play live, except I watched your YouTube stream when you did that, those shows live, or that show.
Yeah.
So I felt like that was kind of live. That was pre-pandemic.
Those live adjacent.
Was that like at a college in North Carolina? It's not on my notes, but was it a school somewhere?
You want my real answer? I don't remember.
Okay. Hey, whatever.
I'm sorry.
Ben Rector is here. Play a little bit of Range Rover for us. Okay. I know you have a guitar here.
Yep. Also, this is the first time I've ever played this song on guitar amongst all of us. So,
mostly you play it alone in the mirror?
Mostly I play it on piano. And I was like, I'm not going to follow piano.
I didn't quite know where to go with that. I was like, mostly you. All right, here he is, Ben Rector playing some of Range Rover.
You want me to do the whole thing or do
you
have
to? Just give me verse and chorus. Oh, yeah.
All my friends been asking where Amanda's been. They said she seemed like such a perfect 10. Asked me when I was gonna take her home to Cleveland. She was just your type, dark hair and with the green brown eyes. Real smart and she cleaned up nice. Asked me why, said if you really need a reason. Well, I'm looking for a girl that's fine. If I drive a Civic and she does not mind. Riding in it with the windows down. Cranking Steve Winwood loud next to me. I'm looking for a girl who sees past blown speakers and a broke AC. In a two-seater with a quarter a million miles on the motor. And she was looking for that Range Rover. Nah, 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 she just wants that. She wants that Range Rover. Just wants that Range Rover.
Nice. How hard was it to get Steve Winwood to do that song? Was that just because he's in the actual recording of it?
Yeah. So basically, that was just kind of like a moonshot. And on this record, I've done a little bit more of like, I think this person is cool. I wonder if they'd want to be involved in this. But I really did not think that he would do it. The guy that I'm working with on a lot of these songs, we went back to it. It was like, we probably need to put something in the turnarounds. I was like, I think B3 would be perfect. Let's just get somebody to do that. And this is while kind of the world is shut down. He was like, what if we got Steve Winwood to do it? And I was like, I mean, yeah, that would be awesome, but I don't think that's going to happen. And then, like, you know, fast forward like 10 days and it's like, we're, you know, editing Steve Winwood's B3 tracks. And I was like, oh my gosh.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And when we wrote the song, he's in there because I'm such a Steve Winwood fan. I saw him at the Ryman, got like a tour t-shirt. I was wearing that shirt to the right. And so I was like, Steve Winwood. And it was like, yeah, but I was so stoked that he did it, man.
How do you feel about people going to shows? Like if they came to a Ben Rector show and they were wearing a Ben Rector t-shirt, this is a debate on the show. I won't tell you who's on what side yet.
Okay.
If someone shows up in your shirt at your show, how do you feel?
Okay. This is a two-part answer. One, I support it. It feels like people are like wearing a, you know, Preds jersey to a Preds game. Like, I'm here for this. But something funny happened that hadn't happened before on the last like real tour we did. Somebody on Amazon basically knocked off our whole merch line and like basically all the tour tees we made, they like pretty much made them again. And I felt so bad because I'd be meeting people at the meet and greets and they're like, check it out. And I'm like, that's totally fine. I'm not like up in arms about that. But it was funny because like the tour manager and I started spotting him. It was like, man, whoever made these shirts is really crushing it. Because I think what people would do is like they get the tickets and then they're like, I want to get a shirt to wear the thing. And it looks enough like the tour t-shirt or whatever t-shirt that they bought it. And there was a lot of them. But I'm all in support of people wearing merch to shows. I'm like, that's really kind of you. That's great.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Lunchbox does not.
Oh, I think you look like a tool.
Really?
You look like an absolute tool if I show up to a Ben Rector show and I'm wearing a Ben Rector shirt. Absolute tool.
What are you supposed to wear?
Yeah.
Just your clothes. Don't wear a Nirvana shirt. I don't care, but you wear something else. It looks so gooberish.
I do think a lot of people also will buy a shirt and put it on. There's a lot of like wearing a shirt over a thing that you already have where it's like you just bought that. I support it. I'm all for people buying merch.
I support it.
Normal clothes are good too, though.
So you worked. I wasn't there when you were working with the contestants, but I work on American Idol, and you did this season, and you worked with Wyatt, and then he quit.
Yep.
Are you the reason?
I was really hard on him, and I was like, "What are you doing here, man?" No, I hope I wasn't. I don't think I was.
You definitely weren't.
He was such a talented guy. Is such a talented guy. They were both awesome. I didn't know what to expect, and they were both like I couldn't have picked two better people. Like I wanted to be friends in real life with both of them, and they're so talented. It was awesome.
Ben Rector is here. You know, before you jump, would you play a little bit of Brand New?
Yeah, I would.
Do you care when people go, hey, play something a little older?
No.
Okay, just making sure.
No, not at all.
I feel like new sunglasses, like a brand new pair of jeans. I feel like taking chances. I feel a lot like 17. Yeah. I feel like windows roll down new city streets and cabs. I feel like anything can happen. Laughing, you take me right back. Back when we were kids. Never thought I'd feel like this, yeah. Like when I close my eyes and don't even care if anyone sees me dancing. Like I can fly and I don't even think of touching the ground. Like a heartbeat skip, like an open page, like a one-way trip on an aeroplane. It's the way that I feel when I'm with you. Brand new, oh yeah, yeah. I feel brand new.
Come on, Ben Rector. Yeah. We appreciate you waking up early, singing songs in the morning. I know that is tough.
It was not early, but I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me, man.
You guys can follow Ben on Instagram, Ben_Rector. You couldn't get Ben straight Rector?
A British photographer right out of the gates got it.
But his Twitter has been Rector. The British photographer didn't get that one.
He didn't. Yeah. He's just Instagram-only guy.
How about that? Suck on those eggs. All right. Ben, good to see you. You guys check out Range Rover with Steve Winwood. And if he's coming to your town, you want to go to a Ben Rector show. That is for sure. Ben,
wear a tour tee or don't. Wear normal clothes or a tour tee.
Just don't get it off of Amazon. Get it at the venue.
If you want to get it off Amazon, you can.
All right. There he is. Ben Rector. Ben, good to see you. Oh, another clapping. All right.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
We had another psychic call this week with Lunchbox, but without giving away too many spoilers, let's just say something got revealed at the end of the psychic call, and all of us were shocked. We had no idea this was happening. And again, no spoilers, but if you didn't listen, just stop and listen to the segment. Before I say this, Eddie, what is the best prank you've ever pulled on someone?
Oh my gosh. Oh, okay. I know one. So back like I would say probably like 20 years ago when I was still living with my parents, my dad, my brother. Oh, my gosh. I hope they don't listen to this. But my dad and my brother got into a bar fight.
Okay. This is not where I expected.
Yeah, like crazy. Okay. Like crazy. And I know what it was. I didn't live there. So I was already in college. And so I was in college in Huntsville, Texas, and I heard that my dad and my brother got into a bar fight. And I was like, what is happening? Like, yeah, like my brother pissed someone off. Older brother.
Okay.
He made someone mad, and my dad stepped in. Next thing you know, like, the guy had a knife or whatever. No. And then other guys got involved, and they finally pinned the guy down. And
this was a true movie
true
bar fight.
Story. And, like, and nobody got hurt. Thank goodness.
Okay, yeah.
They got the knife away from the guy and everything. But I was just like, what is happening? This is ridiculous. So then it was like maybe a week later, my friend works for the news station down there. And I said, hey, call them and tell them that there's a warrant, that you get all the warrants at the news station or whatever, and that there's a warrant for their arrest.
And that's absolute savage.
And that they've got to get out of town, like, stat. Because, like, they're coming for you today at 3 o'clock. And so, he called them, and they're like, oh my gosh. Like, a warrant for what though? We didn't do anything. It's like, yeah, they found out you were in a bar fight. And, like, I guess the guy on the knife's pressing charges or whatever. He said, he's saying this, he's saying that. And so they were literally about to pack their bags and, like, flee to Mexico. And then I called him and said, I'm just joking. Don't believe him. It was my idea. It's just a joke. But that's pretty funny.
Move,
I know,
Eddie.
That's funny though. Come on.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that's funny. I don't think I've ever pulled that bad of a prank. I mean, I got pranked by Lunchbox when he threw the egg in my face.
Yeah, that was funny.
I get pranked on more often than I prank people.
Do you ever prank your parents? Like, I feel like you guys mess with your dad a lot.
We do mess with my dad all the time. That's just a consequence of having kids.
Having four girls.
He loves to sleep on the couch. So between a feather, a whipped cream, pouring water on, I mean, you name the things that we've done.
You
my
draw
dad.
Things on his face?
We've never done that. I think that would actually make him really mad at us. But we did pour water on him. That was the recent prank when I went home. I think last Christmas, he was like chilling there and it was like a TikTok video. And I was like, ooh, let's do it. Taylor had found it. Was like, I want to do this, Dad. I was like, I'll help. You can do it. I don't want to do it.
Because are you scared of him?
Yes. Because when he wakes up, he'll immediately come after you. And like, my dad is a big dude.
Oh, big man.
Like, tall he could dude. Totally kick my butt if he wanted to. And so he comes after me every time. I'm like, I didn't do it. I was just an accomplice. And it's kind of a joke between Taylor and I, which is my closest sister to mm-hmm. me, that I'm the favorite child. So every time something does happen, regardless if I did it or she did it,
she gets in trouble.
She gets all the trouble and like is beat on by my dad, whereas me, I'm just like sitting there like, ha ha, ha. So we do. We prank my dad. And like, but my funny, like my best story would be that my dad has his whole backyard, loves his yard. Typical dad, loves his grass, loves all of his flowers and everything he's planted.
Typical
back
dad.
And he feeds a million different animals back there. I think we've bought him like 15 different bird feeders because we don't know what to buy him anymore. That's what he loves.
He likes watching the birds.
Birds, squirrels, raccoons, possums, foxes. I mean,
this,
he is a literal modern day Snow White.
I love that.
And so the best part is that his squirrels, he feeds them. But we bought him like faces to put on a tree. When I tell you we have tried to buy this man everything, it is mostly yard things that we find. And we found yard faces to put on the tree.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yes, I've seen those.
And which my mom hates, by the way. She's like,
they're creepy.
Yes. But my dad loved him. And he had like four or five different ones. And the squirrel started stealing them. He'd find the different pieces of the faces all over the yard.
That's funny.
And so now he's like mad at the squirrels, but he still feeds them. He's like, I feed you guys and
you're
you take my things.
Tree art.
So that's my best prank, but I'm not even funny. Involved in it. It's just a funny one to be a part
I love
of.
That.
So, but this was hilarious.
Oh my
when
gosh, this was great.
Lunchbox found out another like very grimly phone call from a psychic, but then at the end, everybody found out something and we all just didn't even know what to think. So definitely if you missed this one, listen to it. It's worth it.
Number 3.
Last week, Lunchbox called a psychic. And the bit idea was for him to call, get a reading, and then call back and get a refund. Like, that was the initial segment that Mike D thought of. We thought, ha, ha, ha. But during the call, we were thrown off because the psychic told Lunchbox that he was going to die in 2023. Here's a clip of that.
I do kind of know how much time you have left.
Like on the phone call?
No, like, you know, how much time you have left.
Oh, like how much time do I have left?
I would say don't make any plans for 2023 and spend lots of time with your wife and kids. And don't play the lottery.
So that pretty much was her saying you're not going to be around long.
Yes.
So Lunchbox, you decided to call for a second opinion.
Yes, because I'm like, okay, this lady's just kooky. Like, she has no idea what she's talking about. She's
telling me I'm going to die in 2 years. Like, I don't want to hear that. So I'm going to call a different psychic, and I'm just going to talk to them and see what they say. And maybe this other lady wasn't reading the tree leaves right, or whatever she does to look
leaves.
Into my mind.
The tree leaves.
Whatever. But she told me I was going to die, so I've been freaked out, so I called a different psychic.
Okay, so we have two parts here. They're both about a minute. Here's the first part.
To this lady, Ariel, I want to say thank you for stepping into this. And how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling great, you know, feeling good. Great day to be alive, you know what I mean? Got a smile on my face, and I'm looking good.
Question for you. Do you want me to call you by your first name that starts with the letter D, or are we going to go with this whole charade of calling you Lunchbox?
Oh, no, we can stick with Lunchbox. That's what my friends call me. You know, that's what the people, on, you know, that's what the crew calls me. So we'll go with Lunchbox.
Okay. Oh, man, I'm picking up something. This is pretty funny, what I'm saying here. Can you rub your hands together for me?
Okay, I'm rubbing them.
Okay, just as I thought, sticky fingers. Your roommate, Jesus from the dorms, you know, that you took the cash from his dresser? Well, he wants me to let you know that he doesn't hold it against you from the past, and he forgives you.
Like, what? No, hold on. Like, the guy that was, like, my roommate in the dorms, you talked to him? How do you know him?
I told you, I feel things through vibration. And you rubbing your hands together, I felt that. And what I'm feeling is that he knew, and he didn't say anything. In fact, come to find out, he actually saw you doing it. College was a while ago, so shake it off. I need you to stay calm, okay? Especially what I'm about to tell you next.
Okay.
Okay, so is that true? I don't know that story. Did you steal money from a roommate?
I mean, $17 sitting on the counter.
How did she know that?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like, come on. Like that's when she said, Jesus. She said his name. Like, when you say his name, I'm like, okay, what's going on here? And so I thought, okay, she called Jesus. I don't even know where Jesus is. But how would she have talked to Jesus?
We didn't even know this.
No. And that's why I'm just like, okay, this is not cool. And I said, how did you know that? And she told me the vibration.
Okay.
I don't know, whatever.
We have one more clip. It's about a minute. This is Lunchbox talking to a second psychic. Go ahead.
You know, a lot of people say this, and I think sometimes people miss it, but, you know, what's more precious than money is time. So I wouldn't so much focus on the tangible money aspect and focus more on the value of time. I'm seeing time, a clock. A lot of clocks are ticking around, so pay attention to that.
Like, I'm getting a new watch?
Not so much. Look, I don't want to, I mean, how about this? Let's just say focus on the now. That's why we're saying time. Time is now. I want you to live in the moment and enjoy life. Don't stress too much about winning the lottery. I know you want the Lambo. Don't worry about that. You have your wife and your kids, and focus on what you have now while you can, okay? And that's all I have. Steve only paid for a quick reading, okay?
No. But, like, what about my future? Like, what happens, like, let's say 2-3 years down the road? Like, where am I going to be?
I appreciate you being open, and I hope you've enjoyed your experience today.
No.
That's all I got with Lady Ariel.
What about 2 years from now?
Talk to Steve and give me a call back. We can do this again.
Yeah. Okay.
So what did you take from that?
I took that two psychics tell me I'm going to die. I called her to get a second opinion because I wanted her to tell me something different. I want her to tell me, oh, yeah, 4 years, 5 years down the road, you're going to be doing great. And she did none of that.
So what do you feel like, really, all radio bit aside, what do you feel is happening here?
Oh, man, I don't know. I'm stressed out, I'll tell you that. Like, I'm like, can they really tell things? Like, how did two psychics tell me about the same thing, like clocks? Like, I mean, she didn't say I was specifically going to die, but she said the clock is ticking. Spend time with your family. Where the other lady just straight up said, don't plan anything past 2023. Huh.
Do you believe that you're going to die in the next couple years?
I do now. Now I do.
No, I now do.
Okay. No. Tick, tick. It's over. Bye-bye.
Well, here's what I'll say. Is it about 3 weeks or so ago, Scuba and Mike had an idea to get some fake psychics and tell Lunchbox he was going to die.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's good.
What? Wait, you guys got fake psychics to tell me I was going to die. So both those women are not real psychics.
I don't know who they were, but all I know is
I just said, told them it was, this is their idea. They said, hey, what if we get a psychic?
Okay, now some things are making sense, because I was like, I'm really having a hard time getting into this, because I feel like these people are like not real. But then Lunchbox was believing them, so I didn't know. I was like, is Lunchbox in on this? I had no idea, but now it makes sense. So Scuba Steve and Mike D were pranking Lunchbox.
Yes, and Scuba, how did you find these people?
Oh, I hate
so
you guys.
I have some hippie friends back in LA, and I just reached out to them, and they were able to play the part.
Wow. Okay.
And I talked to his wife to get more information for the second one.
You called Lunchbox's wife?
Yes, I went and called her. I got her phone number from my wife and got some information from her to kind of get a little more insider to kind of really pick out of
them. Money.
Dang, you told your wife you stole from your college roommate?
we probably talked about roommates, you know, like in the past, like who we lived with and stupid things that have happened. I was like, oh my gosh.
Well, man, what would you like to say to these two?
Man, you guys are punks, and I mean, that was good. Well done.
That's good. Well done. Yeah. Well done, boys. All right. Nice job, you two. All right, we'll be back in a second. He's going to live. He's alive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Arguably one of our biggest segments of the week. If somebody didn't have baby news, this would have been at number one, but it is coming in at number two. Eddie is going on a walk from West Virginia to Tennessee.
Crazy.
How are you feeling, Eddie?
Good. I mean, I've embraced it now. I mean, I honestly didn't think this would happen. I thought maybe like, oh, whatever, like no one's going to want me to do this. And I didn't think we asked for our listeners to raise $10,000. That was,
you know,
our,
how much they've raised now?
That was our goal, and I don't know what it is now.
Let me pull it up. Tell me a little bit more while I look for this official number.
I mean, I was thinking like, oh, let me come up with a high number. So like, really, it would be really cool if we reach this goal because all the money goes to charity. But at the same time, like, I don't really want to walk. Like, that's a long time. And look, on the radio, we say a lot of things.
Do you regret what you said to get you into this situation?
I mean, I still think it's true, but do I regret saying all this and say I would walk it? Yes.
What if you would have said that about the song, I'd walk 500 miles and I'd walk, I don't, what is the song? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I think it's like 5,000 miles.
Well, I think it's 500 or, starts at 5,000, like it builds up.
Oh, it goes up. Yeah. See, that's
so at least you didn't do that one.
I would not mess with that song. No.
But okay, so we have raised, at this moment, when I'm looking at it, which we'll probably raise more this weekend, $50,700.
That number keeps going up, guys.
Oh, yeah. We've had over almost 2,000 contributions.
And see, it's beautiful. Like, this makes me feel really good because the money goes to the National Angels, which is an organization that I work with. And they're based out of
foster kids, right?
For foster kids. And they're based out of Austin, Texas, but they have chapters all over the United States. And the goal is to have these chapters open up all over the country so we can have these little hubs, and it's their organization, not mine, but I do like to help them. And the goal is to have these little hubs that we can get in every little city or community in America to help foster parents, foster families, foster kids, foster youth, all that, to help them in their journey of foster care, because it's hard. Foster care, the system is hard. Being a parent is hard. Being a child is hard. All of that is so difficult that to have a quote unquote angel, you know, like the National Angels, to help you with whatever you need, anything. If it's, you know, just taking your kid hey, don't worry, I'll take your kids to their soccer games. Don't worry, I will take them lunches. You worry about your house that you have to clean or whatever.
So is it helping parents that may have to put their kids in the foster system, or is it helping foster parents?
Foster families. So families that have taken in foster kids.
Got it.
Okay. Yes.
Which makes it so more people can potentially bring in foster kids, correct?
That's the goal.
Okay.
So if you feel, as a foster parent, if you feel like you're getting overwhelmed, there's studies show that foster parents give up and they say, this is just too much. I can't handle it. I can't handle my own life and being a foster parent. This is just too hard. So the goal is to just avoid that thought of like, I can't do this. So as soon as a family feels like this is overwhelming, the angels are here. No, we're going to help you out so you can continue this journey.
I love that.
Yeah. So, and they're so helpful to us. And I mentioned too in a segment ago about babysitters.
That was them.
They're the ones that come in and say, hey, take the weekend off. Like, go out, have dinner, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever you need, we'll watch the kids for 4 hours or whatever.
That's so awesome. So they really are little angels.
They are like angels, and I love them so much, and I love what they do. So it's bittersweet. Like, I don't want to walk this much. I do not want to walk.
Which, have we figured out how many miles officially it is?
So here's the deal. So the route that I've mapped out is about 72 miles.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, it's a straighter shot, but it's also a straighter shot through mountain ranges. So it's like going.
So it's really not a straight shot. It's like a
up and down.
A lumpy shot.
I mean, like, left and right straight shot. It's it's not an up and down straight shot. It's like up, down, up, down. So, I mean, it looks like it's going to be about 72 miles. I'm going to average around 9 hours of walking a day.
At a time. Like not spread out 9 hours a day.
Well, I can spread it however I want, I think.
I think you might have to. I think if you try and walk 9 consecutive hours, I think you would hate us.
I think, I don't know. The most I've ever walked is about 5 miles, which probably is about 2 hours. And I haven't felt like exhausted, like I can't walk. But that's the most I've ever just walked consecutively.
In your entire life. Have you ever run a mile or run a marathon or anything like that?
No, I've always said that's the dumbest thing in the world. Like, why would someone run 26 whatever miles?
And here you are.
And I walk 70 something or whatever.
Or roughly 3 marathons, something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, okay. I've never done it, but I mean, I'm starting to train now. I bought new shoes.
That you're breaking in right now as we speak.
Yes. So I was doing a caddy thing with Bobby at the Charles Schwab Challenge. It's like a PGA event in Texas, and I was like, "Ooh, this is perfect because I'm going to be walking in a whole golf course, and I'm going to be carrying a big 30-pound bag, and so to be good training, let me order these shoes." And they came in a day late, and I was so upset. Like, oh my gosh, my shoes didn't come here on time, because I figured that'd be good breaking in. But I got these special walking shoes. I Googled,
and they're very colorful. So if somebody sees you on the side of the road,
they're not going to hit me.
Yeah, are you gonna wear reflectors?
Probably, I have to. I have to wear a bright yellow
Well,
vest
that, but
or something.
There's certain shirts that have literally built-in reflectors.
Well, I don't want to walk too much at night.
Okay, mostly during the day.
I think I'm gonna do most of it early morning, all the way to
dusk.
Yes.
Dawn.
Yes.
Whatever the right one is.
Dusk. Okay. But here's the thing, though. So the way I mapped it, there's really not a lot of civilization on this route.
So you're going to be farmlands and mountain ranges. And
yes. So you're talking
animals, wildlife.
These country roads where there's probably a house, a farm every 12 miles. No gas stations, no restaurants, nothing for 20 miles apart.
Okay. And you're going to be carrying suckers with you.
Yeah. Heart-shaped suckers that I'll be giving out to people.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, That's a good idea. I love it because I'm carrying your love with me, a little symbolism. I think it's a good idea. I hope I don't have to carry all the suckers in there. Maybe I'll leave a bag in there and then give the rest to Scuba. he'll be chasing me in a car. Or he'll be following me in a car, which I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know how slow a car goes.
I feel like he could be a pacer car. He kind of just follows you every 5 miles. He kind of meets up with you.
Yeah, because that'd be a terrible job to sit in a car and follow a walker.
Yes. I mean,
that would be worse than walking to me.
You'd be so bored. And technically, you're not supposed to be on your phone. You can't do anything. You could just eat a bunch of food.
Right.
You just get you gain 10 pounds.
So he's going to gain 10. I'm going to be losing the way he's going to be gaining it.
Okay, we talked about too, which we have to figure out a way to kind of live stream you.
Yes.
Majority of the time. So we're going to try and figure out.
And I warned you.
Don't hold us to this.
I warned you because of the mountain ranges. I don't know how good service is going to be out there. But if service is good, we're streaming.
For the most part, we're going to try and get a stream that we can just live on the website. So you can literally just go check in on Eddie anytime while he's during his walks. That's our goal.
Are you able to do a tracker, a virtual tracker where you can, it's a map and
maybe
you can see,
if we
Eddie's
get an app
right
on
now.
Your phone?
Yeah.
Well, there is apps Find My Friends. So there has to be some kind of tracker app that we could use.
Okay. Because that'd be cool for people to go to our website and be I wonder how far he is now.
I'm going
to
do some research.
Okay.
But we're going to put something on the website that somebody can follow you through your journey. Since if you live in California and you're not going to fly all the way out to West Virginia. I mean, if you are West Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky, I feel like are the three states you'll be walking through, right?
No, just Virginia. I'm literally on the border of West Virginia. As soon as I take one step, I'm going to be in Virginia.
And then you're going to turn right around and...
No. And then I'm going to go straight down through Virginia and then end up in Tennessee. Literally, I'm going to step one foot into Tennessee.
So you're starting in West Virginia.
Correct.
And coming down. Well, that makes sense.
So I'm only traveling through one state, which is Virginia.
Okay.
Technically three with one step.
There's some wineries in Virginia.
Well, I'm not stopping to drink wine, Morgan.
Well, you'd be like, hey, I need a little pick-me-up.
Maybe for Scuba. Maybe he can like go forward and start drinking wine, then I'll meet you at the winery.
You know how they have those like liquid backpacks for runners?
Camelbacks, yeah.
Put it wine in it.
Hey, why not?
Drinking wine.
You gotta
pee.
What do? You just go to the side of the road.
There is. I mean, that's one way to get through that many miles.
I am not opposed to getting into like a 12-pack of beer and like just drinking.
But then I have a feeling the next day you're gonna be like, I should not have done
with
that.
A hangover.
Yeah, oh. And your feet are gonna be hurting because you had a little buzz. You didn't really feel what was happening.
Bones, can I take the day off? I'm gonna need to sleep this one.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, I'm so excited.
So
about
am
this.
I.
Before we get into this and you talking about your demands and how this all came about that we raised that $50,000, what's something that you really hope, like ideally, that would be really cool to happen along your walk?
I mean, I think it'd be cool if people like showed up.
And kind of did some of the walk with you.
I mean, how cool would that be? Just random people will be like, it's like Forrest Gump. Next thing you know, Forrest Gump's like, you know, there's 50 people behind Forrest Gump running through across America. Like, I feel like that would be cool. I think just more importantly, just get through it. Like, I'm so optimistic about everything. Like, you know me. Like, if we're like, hey, Eddie, I need this video like in 10 seconds. I'm like, yeah. Like,
you're
let me
like,
give
yeah,
it my
it's
shot.
Impossible, but I can do it.
Let me give it a shot. And then I'm just like, I call you back and be like, okay, I'm not going to be able to do this in 10 seconds. So that's kind of how I feel about this. Like, I'm really optimistic about it. I feel like I'm going to have no problems. But if I'm going to be realistic about it, this is going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard. And I'm ready for the challenge, but I just, that's going to be my big goal. Like, let's just get through it.
Okay.
Let's do it.
I believe in you.
I'm not going to quit.
How is your wife feeling? Because she's going to be holding down the ship at home for a week.
Well, she's also said, like, maybe I can meet you, like, in some of these towns that you're, like, going to stop at. Because they're on summer break.
So take a little trip with the kids.
So she's thinking, like, I'll just get the kids in the car and maybe meet you in Bristol when you get there. Or maybe, like, meet you at these little towns that you're getting there, whatever. And so, I don't know. So we're just trying to plan that out. I mean, I think it'd be great. Definitely don't want to be gone for a whole week.
Well, and that's what we're looking at, right? It's a week.
Yes, because it takes a day to get wherever my starting point is. So the drive is already a day to get there. And then the walk is 4 days. That's the goal.
And that's giving you some time in case you're like, I cannot do this right now.
Yes, correct. So we're looking at 5 days total.
Okay, but she's okay with it.
Oh, like, she's down.
She's positive.
She's down. She loves the charity. She loves the cause. So she's down.
Okay, good. Well, here is Eddie giving us his one demand for making this walk from West Virginia to Tennessee.
Number two.
Eddie claims that if you really love someone, that going from West Virginia down to Tennessee is not that far in distance. And if you're wondering where that comes from, it's this song right here.
West Virginia down to Tennessee. I'll be moving
in fact, it's such a short distance, Eddie claims he himself could go from West Virginia to Tennessee.
Yeah.
Or at least he did until we called him on it. So fast forward to today. We're going to find out what Eddie needs to do this. If he does it, he will go from the southern tip of West Virginia, which is Bluefield, West Virginia, and walk all the way to the border of Tennessee, which is Bristol, Tennessee. Now, we have the mileage. It is how many miles from Bluefield, West Virginia to Bristol, Tennessee? 104 miles. Okay.
There's no shorter way. You're not doing the farm-to-market road or anything?
That's it. 104 okay. miles. So, what do you need to walk from West Virginia to Tennessee?
Okay. I thought long and hard about this. When I was at home, I see my two foster kids sitting there. And I'm thinking, you know, you brought it up on Friday. I was like, the charity that we've been working with a lot is the National Angels. I want to raise money, Bones, and I've never done this in my life. I've never picked a charity and been like, I want to raise this much money. So I have decided that $10,000
to this charity, the National Angels, and I will walk from West Virginia down to Tennessee carrying love on my back.
Okay. So I have already pledged $1,000.
So that's $10,000. No, $11,000.
No. That's nine more thousand.
Oh.
Because I'm in. Don't start doing that.
Okay.
So let's go around the room here. It is a donation to National Angels. Amy.
Yeah.
What will you pledge?
Oh, wow. Okay. So this is for Eddie to walk.
Yeah.
From West Virginia to Tennessee.
Over 100 miles.
And it's going to foster care.
Listen, $100 from you would be great.
I know, but I'm really thinking this through, Bobby.
It goes to National Angels specifically.
Is it Nashville Angels?
It's the National Angels.
Oh,
we work with Nashville as well, but National Angels they're over all the chapters across the country. So.
Oh, yeah. I've worked with them as well, and I know they're doing great work. So I got you at
$500. Oh, let's go.
Okay, we are at $1,500 right now in lunch. Oh, boy.
Good grief,
what's
guys
in it for me?
Well, I mean, really, what is in it for me? Except for I don't have to sit next to Eddie for however long you have to walk for. That's good. I mean, Bobby, you did 1,000. Amy, you did 500. Oh, man. Let me check the calculations. Let me talk to my bank account.
To my bank account?
He's writing on paper.
I think $100 will be great.
Yeah.
You know what, Eddie? I mean, you're my buddy.
Come on.
You're going to walk 104 miles. I got to donate to your charity. I'll give you $104.
Yeah! All right, $104. Okay. So far, we are at $1,604. Okay? Morgan.
I don't have a lot, but I still want you to walk. Yeah, I'll pledge $100.
Wow! That's a lot of money!
Wow, that's
amazing.
Morgan, you should go $105 just to be funny.
Okay, wait. I'll do, my favorite number was 10, so I'll do $110.
Oh!
There you go.
All right.
I see what we're doing here.
Okay. So right now we're at 1714, right? $714? Raymundo.
Yes, Ray Bay will pledge to Eddie and his amazing cause one full day of cameos.
What? So? What is that in dollars?
Whatever we get, we'll give it to you the day that we choose.
Yay! Ray, just say $50.
All right, Ray and Bay pledge $50.
All right. Yay! All right, so we're at 1764.
Oh my, all these random numbers.
I'm not the lowest.
Yes.
The last person is Scuba Steve.
For me, I will pledge my time and I'll go with Eddie on this walk because he has someone to go with him.
That's good.
So I'll be like the pace car and follow him and be his buddy and play the music and make sure he's safe.
You're going to walk next to him?
Wow.
You should also.
I'll be in a car.
Scuba, you should also do plus $36 so we can get it to $1,800.
I'll round it out. $36 and I'll hang out with you for a couple days.
Wow, I love that. That's great. Right.
We are at $1,800 right now.
Wow.
So, that being said, we still need $8,200.
It's a lot.
So, we have set up a page on our website, bobbybones.com. Morgan, it's going to be at the top. It's easy.
Yep. All you have to do is bobbybones.com. It's going to be front and center right there.
And then what is it? What are they clicking into?
It'll be a photo. Eddie, we'll take a picture of you, and it'll just be you, like, begging for...
Begging.
Donations.
Yeah.
And then when they give this money, where does it go? Do we, like, who holds it? What side is it? Like, what's happening here? Do we know?
Yeah, so I'll have it set up through National Angels. I'll have a call later today. I'll call the rep there and make sure that...
So it'll be their page. It'll go right to them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so we'll have a link. So it'll be on our page. So go to us to make it easier, bobbybones.com. It'll link right to them, and then you can donate.
Okay, and so they keep a tally going, though? Like, when your money goes up, it immediately shows.
Yeah, I'll make sure we get something. Either shows or they let us know so we can update the audience.
We need it to show. Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Eddie?
Come on.
We need to make $8,200 from our listeners, and you will walk from West Virginia to Tennessee.
Okay, how do we do that?
And I don't like to say $8,200, just $10 a listener. 820 listeners at $10.
Boom. See, because I was thinking, clearly, surely we have at least 8,200 people listening if they just donate $1.
But why would you knock my number down that I just pitched out there?
Guys, no fighting.
I wasn't trying to knock it down. It's just funny where your brain went. My brain was going to... hopefully
I just don't think it's worth getting your credit card out for a dollar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
So I would say, it's like when someone lowballs you, you're like, you know what? Like, I feel like my air was sucked out of me for...
I'm sorry. Oh, okay. My bad.
Just a $10 donation goes to National Angels. We want to make sure that Eddie has to walk from West Virginia to Tennessee. Mm-hmm. BobbyBones.com. Go and donate. We're trying to make this money. Let's see what happens.
Or...
Amy's like a nickel.
Oh, no.
If we have a million listeners and a nickel,
donate 50 cents.
Okay, we've gone off the rails.
Yeah.
Eddie, we're hoping it happens, buddy.
Let's go. Me too, man. Me too.
Okay, we'll get there. Let's
go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
Lunchbox announced he's having another baby. That makes five for his family. Everyone is so excited about this. Eddie, I want to hear about your first two kids. Uh-huh. How did you guys make your big baby announcements?
Oh, so the first one was cool. I was working for a television station, and it was the studio that the television station was like an old movie theater. And so it had a marquee in the front, like an old style movie theater marquee. Fun. And so when we made the announcement, everyone at work said, like, can we please like put it up on the marquee? And so they did. They put like, welcome to the world and then my son's name or whatever.
Oh.
And so we still have the picture and like that was like really, really cool.
So was that when he was born?
That's when he was born.
Okay.
Yes.
That's so cool.
The announcement to parents. I mean, it was just phone calls. Like, we never did anything like...
Well, I'm not trying to give you more a hard time about your age, but because you're a little bit older than me, I just didn't know if gender reveals and, like, the reveal of the pregnancy were as big of a deal without really social media.
Gender reveals were not a thing. Like, if people did it, it wasn't, like, a thing that you just heard people do.
You didn't hear people talk about it.
No. And also the cards, people do cards or whatever with, like, sonogram pictures. That wasn't a thing.
It like the little film strips?
Yes. So, I mean, the actual sonogram, I don't know what they look like now, but it was like a Polaroid like picture.
Yeah.
You know, like, do you know what a Polaroid
picture
is? Okay, all right. Taylor Swift.
Eddie,
Taylor
those Swift came back. Those came back. So I can get in on those.
Okay. So it was like that. And so like that would be your card where you would go to your family and be like, check him out.
Here's
we're
the baby.
We're having a baby. But that was pretty much it. You know, we didn't have gender reviews or anything like that. And reveals, but. As far as like, you know, knowing the sex of the baby, we were always like, there was no chance to be surprised. Cause every single time, there's two different doctors that delivered our babies, but the first doctor did the same thing. She was like, oh wow, there he is. And we're like, what'd you say? And she's like, oh, were you guys trying to not know? And we really weren't, we never talked about it, but it was like,
you found out in the delivery room. So at the very least,
it was a checkup. It was a checkup, and she was doing the sonogram, and she had the sonogram.
I thought that was like when she was pulling out there. There he is.
No, this was like first checkup, like looking at the baby. Once kind of you can tell it was a boy.
Yeah.
She had the sonogram going on her belly, and then finally I was like, oh, there he is. And I think she meant his like thing.
Yeah.
I think that's what the doctor meant by there he is. And so that's why we're like, oh, okay, all right, well, there you go.
So you didn't really have a choice in deciding if you were going to do gender or whatever.
And then here in Nashville, we got a different doctor when we moved here because our second son was born here in Nashville.
Okay.
And so he did the same thing, sonogram and be like, oh, look at him. And something like that. And we're just like, oh, well, there you go again. So we had no choice in like the, you know how some people really like to keep the sex kind of like, ah, we'll find out when we actually have the baby, not us. We knew way early that we were having two boys.
Oh, and that's so cute. Yeah. Did you guys tell like your parents? And how did you tell your first son about the second son coming? Was that a big deal?
I think it was just, I don't know. We never made big like events out of it.
Okay.
It was maybe just after like the, you know, the doctor visit because once you get the sonogram, it's pretty cool.
That's kind of the real moment, right?
In
the first several weeks, you're kind of waiting, seeing what happens.
But then they have these like 3D sonograms where like it looks like they try to do an actual image of what the baby looks like in there. And our second son looked weird, like weird.
So your second son may be an alien?
He looked like, I mean, just like, he looked like he was so mad in there. Like the biggest frown, his eyes were far apart, his forehead was humongous.
You're like, what is this kid gonna look like?
And so the whole time we're like, hey, we're gonna love him however he looks. You know, we were like prepared.
But
like,
in the back of your head, you're like, dang, I don't know what's gonna happen.
In the back of my mind, I'm like, he's gonna be an ugly dude. Like, but
What are you doing? You have very cute kids.
Yes.
The whole family. Foster kids and all. Everybody's really cute.
Yes. So we lucked out with that. But I remember, but that shows that technology is like not always very accurate. Because I remember the holding on to that picture and being like, oh boy, this is going to be our son. Who knows what he looks like?
And that's the thing too, is most babies, they just look like a baby. You're not like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. They're going to be so attractive
when
they're older.
They do look like babies, but you always are going to think that your baby's cuter than everyone else.
Is that how you felt?
Oh, yeah. So and especially looking back now at him and being like, we were like, look at him, he's so cute. And like, but then we look at the old pictures and like, oh man, he was not cute. But we thought he was cute as a baby.
Oh,
because as a baby, like, it doesn't matter. What you look at your child and you see him and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Hey, but, Eddie, I can so relate because that's what my dog is to me.
Yes. No, he is to you. Remy is that to you.
I know. But I'm saying, like, you know how everybody's like, oh, well, I have the cutest dog. And you're like, no, I do.
Yeah.
I feel like we just naturally argue with other people that we, no matter what, if it's a baby or a dog or a cat,
right,
we have the cutest one.
Yes.
Because you know them. Yours. They're you know their whole personality, you know their whole life.
Do you think dogs look the same? Breeds?
I think dogs look like their owners.
You've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
I think they turn out to look like their owners.
That's funny.
I don't know
I
why.
I wonder how that happens.
Like hair colors. Like Remy and I have similar hair. Like she has and I think Coachella could look like one of y'all for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's what it was. I was talking about Coachella. I'm like, I don't know. She looks nothing like me and she's crazy. And she's like, well, you're kind of crazy.
It's either the looks or the personality.
Yes.
One of the two.
They
go after somebody in the family.
Yes.
For sure.
That's
they become a part of it. I love that. Thanks for sharing about your kids, too. I know that talking about them is kind of weird sometimes because they're like, Dad, don't talk about us.
Yes. Well, now my 13-year-old is just like, do not talk about me on the radio.
Well, he's 13,
I know.
He knows everything now.
He's like, my friends listen, Dad. Don't say anything about me.
Well, this is the best bit, so hopefully his friends don't listen to this one.
You'll find out at school if he
Sorry,
does.
Kiddo.
Yeah.
He's like, dang it, she called me kiddo.
Dang it, Dad.
You're so old. You're. I'm going to quit.
Talking about my sonogram and how the doctor saw my thing, Dad. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, last question before I go into this. The kids on the show, we have so many. Lunchbox has kids. You have kids. Amy has kids. Scuba has kids. Have all of our kids on the show met and hung out?
Ooh, I don't think my kids and Scuba's kids. Well, he has one, right?
Two.
He has two?
But one's a baby.
One's a baby, baby. No, they have not met.
Okay.
So, but everyone else has met.
Lunch, Amy and
my
yours?
Kids have met. Amy's kids and then my kids they've hung out with Lunch's kids.
Do you think there will be a time when you kind of combine them all to meet? Be like, we're on the show, you guys kind of have to meet each other?
If we all like hang out?
Yeah.
Like all the kids go to like the skating rink?
Something.
Ooh, that'd be cool. Yeah.
I feel like that's something that should happen.
Yeah. I mean, every time we've all gotten together, like all the kids get along, except my foster baby. He beats up on Lunchbox kids. He really does. I think my foster baby is like a manly man. He is a manly man. Like, he walks around, his chest pumped.
So basically when he gets older, we got to watch out for this one.
Yeah. Like I'm getting ready for a lot of like calls from school and being like, he beat someone else up.
Oh,
come get him.
He's going to be the tough kid.
He's just like, he's just built that way. And we're trying to teach him slowly to be like gentle. You don't have to break everything. You don't have to squeeze everything. Just be gentle. And
definitely get him in some fight classes when he's younger. Then he can like put it out that way.
Yeah, then he'll be a UFC fighter.
Yeah. Then you can have an athlete in your family.
That's what I'm talking about.
I helped you out there.
Because my biological kids are not going to be athletes. They got daddy's genes.
Another thing. Now you're going to be like, Dad, I'm not an athlete. Great.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, we need to make that happen.
Okay.
I believe in that.
I do too.
Okay. Well, here's Lunchbox getting excited to share that he is having another baby.
Number one.
Lunchbox wants to brag because he has created again.
You're having another baby?
I'm having a baby.
Oh my gosh. You're like a machine.
I am a machine.
Why would you say that to him? Now he's going to put that in a quote.
I'm going to tell you guys I'm a machine.
You're like
is.
A machine with quotes. #Amy. Yes.
He is, though.
Yeah, baby number three coming October 22nd.
Whoa.
Woo!
So I told Caitlin this last night, and she goes, but I saw on Instagram his wife was drinking wine on the porch.
Ooh, with a coworker.
Yeah. That was a couple months ago because I thought we would do a tease where, it's a big family announcement. So everybody would be like, well, it can't be Lunchbox because his wife was drinking wine. And then, boom, it would be me because, oh, yeah, I'm a machine, as Amy likes to say. So, yeah.
As baby, Amy, that's what you should say every time, as Amy likes to say.
Yeah. Baby number three coming October 22nd. Ooh. Can't wait. It's going to be crazy.
I'm exhausted from two, so might as well have three because I'm a machine, like Amy likes to say. And oh, yeah, we are ready to go.
How many do y'all want?
I don't know, but we got three because I'm a machine, like Amy likes to say.
All right.
Dang.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Wow.
You are a machine, as Amy likes to say.
Yeah.
Let's go. It's the best bits of the week with Morgan number two.
That's it, y'all. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm glad that you came on to listen to this wrap-up. I know you guys post about it, and I love seeing it. So if you enjoyed this, post about it. Make fun of Eddie and I if we did something weird. Sure, we did.
And how my voice sounds weird.
It really doesn't?
No. Okay, good.
No, you're doing great.
Maybe it's just me.
I mean, you're talking to the person who has to, like, check her throat on air. So to me, I'm like, I don't know. I'm used to it. But thanks, Eddie, for hanging out with me. Shout out your social media handle.
At Producer Eddie on everything. And I'm really trying to do that TikTok, though. Follow me on that TikTok.
He's working on it.
I'm working on it.
You know how we do, like, the Elder versus Millennial?
I'm working on it.
He has a lot of TikTok questions, but that's okay. He's doing great. So follow him at Producer Eddie. Make sure you follow the show on everything, at Bobby Bone Show. I'm at Web Girl Morgan if you want to hang out with me. I do TikToks, too. Eddie and I are very different on TikTok.
Very different.
That's okay. Thanks, y'all. Have a great weekend. Memorial Day weekend. Enjoy it. Go out, get on the water, do something fun. Thank y'all. Bye. Come on. Bobby Bones. Yeah.
Every time I go on a trip, if I'm traveling for work, if I'm traveling for vacation, if it's like an extended away, I find myself packing an extra bag with essentials. You know, do I have like four tubes of toothpaste just in case, or supplies? You know what I mean, right? That's all in the past because people can sign up for Target Circle 360, which gives everyone unlimited same-day delivery wherever they go. Which for me, when I'm talking about packing, it allows me, it could be for a vacation for you, it could be me working, allows me not to pack as much because it'll all be waiting for me at my destination. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same-day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for four lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with four lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. The show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them every day can make all the difference in the world. That's why everybody should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's Better, H-E-L-P.com.
Kind is calling all flavor chasers. Hey, it's Amy, and Kind has six new flavors for whatever you crave. Is it something sweet? Well, try new seeds, fruit, and nuts bars. With flavors like dark chocolate raspberry pumpkin seed, the number one ingredient is seeds. And for something savory, Kind has you covered. Try their roasted nuts and jalapeno bars or rosemary nuts and sea salt bars. They're gluten-free with 5 to 6 grams of protein in every one. The number one ingredient is always seeds or nuts. It's the bar for people who love real food. Try all the new flavors. Shop on Amazon today.